So why not such an incredible opportunity to be able to sacrifice this animal, fulfill this rite of the Sharia, and think about the fact that you're basically mimicking the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We talked about that in detail in the MSI Tafsir program. So that's the first way of fulfilling the sacrifice. The second way of fulfilling the sacrifice is to send someone else to do it on your behalf. So you send a friend to the animal farm, they'll sacrifice for you, or you can go with them and you can watch while they sacrifice for you. The third way is to send the money to a foreign country or to some other place within this country. So what happens is various organizations, usually relief organizations, offer the opportunity to take $40, $50, $60. They'll send it to a particular country where the meat will be used. The meat will be sacrificed. It'll be done in your name. And then you can, inshallah, receive the reward of that sacrifice, plus of the meat being distributed to the poor. So this is another opportunity for us. Now, when you make the sacrifice, I'll give you one piece of advice. And this is, my teachers used to advise us this as well. Try to sacrifice one or two extra sacrifices. And do them, those sacrifices, for other people who you're in debt to. So for example, one of the recommended things that you might want to consider is to sacrifice for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, it's not that he needs your sacrifice, right? But actually, it creates a connection between you and the Prophet alaihi wasallam. In fact, on one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed one animal for himself, and he sacrificed one animal for the community. So it's sort of, in a way, quote-unquote, repaying the debt, although we can never repay the debt. But see, these are ways by which you create connections between yourself on the Day of Judgment and other individuals, right? Now you've created a connection between you and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day. It's another way by which you connect yourself to the Prophet alayhi salam. Anyway, you can do it for your parents, you can do it for your friends, for your relatives, for your teachers, etc. Whatever, however you desire. So that's the third sunnah actually. Now, for the individual who intends to make a sacrifice, okay? For the individual who intends to make the sacrifice, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recommended that that person not clip their nails and not cut their hair from the first of Dhul Hijj all the way until after the sacrifice. Basically, what is happening is that you are mimicking the individual who goes for Hajj. Now, you know that when an individual goes for Hajj, they put on something called the Ihram. And when they're in the Ihram, they're not allowed to clip their nails and they're not allowed to cut their hair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recommended in a hadith that the individual who intends to sacrifice, so they're not going for Hajj, they're going to sacrifice hair at home, what they should do is they should not clip their nails from the first all the way until their sacrifice. So now this creates some sort of connection with them, with the people who have gone for Hajj. And basically what you're really saying is, Ya Allah, my mind is at Hajj, my heart is at Hajj, all of my thoughts are at Hajj, even though I'm not at Hajj, so provide me some of the rewards that are being descended upon those people at Hajj. See, everything is about nisbah in this deen. You connect yourself, and then inshallah you receive that reward. We know that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, when the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, they became very ecstatic. Right? He said to them that the person will be with whom he loves. So that on the Day of Judgment, if you had a love for Allah and His Messenger, inshallah you'll be with them. Why? Because there's a connection there. So it's a lot of the deen is about creating these connections. So if we're not able to go for the Hajj, it doesn't mean that we just give up and say, okay, well, we're not going, so we move on with life. We create as many connections as possible. We fast to show that our minds and our hearts and our souls are with the people at Hajj. We pray at night to recognize that these are very special days, that these are the days of Hajj. We prepare a sacrifice. Even though we're not going, we perform a sacrifice in order to mimic perhaps one of the celebrations of Hajj, right? And in the same way, we don't clip our hair, we don't clip our nails, etc. If we're sacrificing, because we're trying to tie ourselves into the people in Ihram at the Hajj. So these are all recommendations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take advantage of these particular days. Now the last thing to recognize is that these are days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glorification. And I told you that the Sharia is designed and the deen is designed to raise and praise Allah. And that's what ibadah is about. When we sit down and worship Allah, when we pray to Allah, it's all about raising Allah and recognizing His grandeur. So one of the recommendations, and in fact it's mandatory, is that beginning on the morning of the 9th, so Fajr of the morning of the 9th, all the way until Asr of the 13th, we have to make special takbirat after every single prayer. Alright, this is mandatory on every individual who offers the prayer. So the male will do it out loud, the female will do it silently.